August 25th, 1987. I'm Lorraine Gall, and I'm going to collect oral history for Jackson Township, Dearborn County, Indiana. And today, I am interviewing, and what is your name?
Mabel Mossmeyer, Huber Mossmeyer.
Okay, and your address now is?
Raintree Terrace, Route 1, Sunman, Indiana, Box 268, Sunman, Indiana.
And where were you born?
I was born in Jackson Township on John Huber Farm, John Mary Huber Farm.
Okay. And what was your birthday? What day?
July the 30th. I was born in 1896.
So that would make you, you were 91 years old.
I was 91 years old.
Well, that's pretty good.
And July the 30th, I was 91.
Your occupation?
Well, I was I got married when I was 25 years old, and I was a housewife for 25 years, and my husband died then, and then I went to work at Batesville as a servant in a home, cooking a home, and I was there 17 years. Then I retired.
Well, that sounds interesting.
Well, I had worked at Cincinnati too for 7 years before I was married when I was a young girl.
So, now you want to tell me anything about your parents or your family and what you remember of your early life?
Well, the folks bought this farm when they got married. When Dad got married, they bought the farm, and it was an old house and an old barn and all old buildings. It was screwed up, but they cleared it up, and the first thing they built then was a barn, and that was in 1901. And as they could at time, and they would clear up, and there was a lot of woods. There was about 20 acres of timber, and they would clear. Dad would, as he had time, he would clear some ground and blast the cut the trees down and blast the stumps for more ground to cultivate. Plant crops, and he cleared it up from the building zone up to Frank Hornberger's line fence there, that over to the road. That was woods, and eventually we got that all cleared up, but it took many years, and it had the trees cut down and then blasted the stumps, and when the stumps were on, we put them on a pile, and then when we was old enough, mother and us kids would go up and pick up the little roots and put it on a pile, and then they'd burn it, and then the ground was ready to cultivate. So then eventually they got they got to build the house, Dad had the sawmill from St. Leon. They will come over to them when they moved their sawmill over to the upper end of the woods, and they cut the trees down and then sawed the lumber, and it was Mr. Fry and two of his sons. They stayed all night because it was, you had to walk or either go with horse and buggy to go back
and forth. Get back and forth.
So they stayed all night, and the young one of the boys, Robert, was Pedrosonized, and he would draw to pass the time in the evening, would draw animals or fruits or whatever, and he had us kids to guess what he drew. So sometimes we pop popcorn, that's how we spent the evening. And after the lumber was all sawed, Dad hauled it to Brookville by horse and wagon, and he had it planed, and then the floor boards and all the trimming for the house, and then he hauled it back home when it was all finished, taken care of, and then they sacked it to so the lumber would dry out, because they said that you shouldn't use the raw timber in the house to build. So finally, when we moved over in a house up the road a little piece, so they could tear the old house down and leave it there until the new house was built. And it was built in 1905. So as we moved back to the new house, and I remember Uncle Frank was sat on the back end of the wagon. We had a roller organ, and it was round rollers, and he played the roller organ, but I don't exactly remember what piece he played. He was playing the roller organ from there on over to the house. And it was a lot of work. The folks worked hard on that farm. There was a lot of cleaning up and it was just a lot of work. When they built the home, the Mr. Adam Basker and his sons built the house. They lived at Lawrenceville, and they walked down. They went back and forth. They walked down in the morning. They was down for breakfast. It was Mr. Basker and Adam Jr., their oldest son, and John, and Frank was just starting to work on learning the carpenter trade, but he helped out some. My mother cooked breakfast, dinner, and supper for the men. So it was them days. We had mother had a large garden. We had our own meat, and it seems like we just got a meal in no time. We had a meal, got enough food together, because we made our own sauerkraut and the green beans, sour beans. You put them in the crock and put a board on top with two holes in, so you could lift it out and put a rock on there and have them stew for men. And bad days, the plants got sugar cane, so then we had a half-blade cane. We didn't always like that job so much, but we half-blade cane, and they hauled it up to the neighbors. Bill Hornberger, he cooked molasses. Then we had, that tasted so good when we had the cornbread and had dark molasses, and in winter time where the butcher, we had, Dad was a big breakfast eater, and my mother would fry some sausage and have pancakes, buckwheat cakes or corn cakes or whatever, and we thought that was a treat for breakfast. She just had to say, call us if he was a little slow getting up, we're going to have pancakes.
And then there was a rush.
we got up. Well, it was just, in the new house we had a furnace, but in the old house we had a heating stove, yeah. And the rooms were cold. So, the folks always went to church. We had church in the afternoon, and Reverend Hazelman was our pastor. He was the pastor of the Adams Church, and he'd come with horse and buggy. And sometimes it was all mud roads, and sometimes it was not easy to get through. But little kids, and we thought sometimes on Sunday we'd like to go to the neighbors and visit and play instead of going to church. Well, Dad said, "We're going to church today." Well, we went to church. So, we was all confirmed, but my brother Homer, he was confirmed at Pentown. He walked up to the pool, when they had the confirmation school, he walked up to Pentown. And there was no class at Blue Creek, so the folks asked if it was all right if they sent him to Pentown. But I was confirmed. I don't remember exactly the year that city was, but I was confirmed October the 9th, 1910. And my sister was confirmed, maybe she was 4 years older. Sadie was 4 years older than I was. There was five of us children, and there were six children in my family, but our oldest brother died. And he wasn't quite 2 months old. So, farming was all done by horses. Plowing and getting the ground ready and planting was all done by horsepower. And by walking behind the plow on the disc and the harrow. And the women, washing was on the board. And eventually, mom got a washing machine. It had a wheel, and you just turn around and around, go around and around.
By hand power.
By hand power, oh. Hand power. But it helped. It helped better than stooping over the washboard. And, well, we had big gardens, and there was a lot of cabbage. You made sauerkraut and put it in big crocks. That was 8 or 10 crocks, 8 or 10 gallon. And dump it down, and then put a board on with 2 holes in to lift the board out, and a rock on, same way with green beans, or the sour beans. And we canned tomatoes. We used to can 100 quarts of tomatoes, all in tin cans at that time, opposed to the sealing wax. And it was just hoeing. The only thing that was that we didn't have to hoe was the potatoes. That we should plant them in a row, and Dad would take a one horse and a plow and go through the rows. But we did have to go in between the potato stalks and get the weeds out. And other part of that garden all had to be just hoed, cabbage, tomatoes, and everything. And all to get the weeds, pull the weeds or hoe. So it was just a lot of work and kept everybody busy as soon as we was able. Each one had their own job to get the kindling wood in, carry wood in, and fill the wood box. And after he was old enough to milk cows, sit under a cow and milk, we all had our jobs. To get the eggs in. Of course, we didn't have so many chickens at that time because we didn't have no big chicken house. It was a small chicken house. And it was just a lot of work to do when you had to do everything by hand.
Now, did you have to go, when you went to the grocery store, you probably didn't have to buy too much. You had
everything. No, we didn't have to buy a whole lot. We'd take our eggs up, and winter we didn't get so many eggs, but we'd take them up to Lawrenceville. And John Rain had the general store at Lawrenceville, and Dad would take the wheat up to the mill, to Psalms Mill, and have the wheat ground and bring a big sack of flour home. Oh, I think it must have weighed about 100 pounds. And, we got cornmeal there. And then the blacksmith shop, we take the horses up, Good Apple's blacksmith shop there at Lawrenceville. And had the horses shod. And then we could walk up to our store sometimes at Lawrenceville. We lived about a little more than a mile away. Carry some eggs, if it wasn't too many eggs to carry, and go to the grocery. Or either my sister, she could drive she wasn't afraid of horses, she'd go with the cart and get some groceries if you had to go and get them. I don't remember that. That was a little before my time. They had to go up there and get the mail there, their paper.
At Lawrenceville?
Yeah, at Lawrenceville, at the store there. That was a little bit. Well, I was just, I guess, a little kid. I just didn't
have. When you remember, was the mailman coming when you delivered? When you were remember?
Yeah. Then
he came around.
Then we finally had the mailman. He come, but he was out at the end of the road, and then he had to go out there and get the mail. But that was a big help. So eventually, the mail got past the place. But that was a long time when we had to walk out there, and so did. Horsemen said, well, everybody that lived on that road had to go out there and get their mail.
And what kind of crops did you plant on the farm?
Well, we planted wheat and oats and rye at that time and corn. And in the summertime, when it was the time for the wheat to cut, they cut them with a binder. And I just don't remember that. The time when they had to tie the bundles, when I was out old enough to go out and shop wheat or down the field, then they had the binder that tied the bundles, and the older ones had to help shop, and the little ones, there was a tree in the field, they found it the shade tree.
And, with the water jug.
Yeah, and the shade tree and trying to kind of watch over the littler ones yet. And mother would help go out and shop wheat as a rule. That was just a must on with you. I didn't have shop wheat.
Now when you got the grain to the barn, did you thrash it with steam engines or was it flail?
No, it was in my I can remember, it was a thrash machine.
It was a thrash machine.
Yeah, they had a thrash machine. And that always improved too, the thrashing did.
Yeah.
And
you had cane, sugar cane.
Yeah, we found a sugar cane close to the house, maybe not too far, which you didn't have to walk too far to play. Then you had to start at the top and pull the leaves off, and then pop it, take the seed off, and cut it up and put it in bundles. And Dad would haul it up to the cane mill. And it was, they had the cane mill was, that was run by horse too. It was a grinder that ground, you had to put the cane in, and as the horse went around in a circle, and then it was a beam or whatever they called it out, and the horse was hitched to that, and he went around and around that ground cane, and he got the juice, and then he carried it over in the pan where Mr. Hornberg cooked it. It was a pan, it had little sections in, and he had a paddle, and he pushed it along them sections from the time he got in. It was just a green juice, and by the time he just pushed it along as he cooked, and at the end, come to the other end of the pan, why it was molasses. And when we were kids, once in the fall, we used to go up, and he asked us, the neighbor kids would come up, and we watch him cook molasses. And then we'd reach down and got some black in each other's faces.
Oh.
And Mr. Hornberger, he just used to laugh. He said he enjoyed it as much as we did. So it was just, there was much many places to go to entertainment, because there just wasn't anything around. But then there had real early, when I was just a growing girl, they had, before I was old enough to go to dances though, they had a dance at Easter Monday, and then maybe at, Fourth of July, that was a big celebration, was Fourth of July dance. They had, down at St. Peter's, they used to have a dinner, and Fourth of July dance, that was always something to look forward to every year. You got a new dress then, went down there with the carriage with the fringe on top, went to the dance, meal. I mean, they had a lovely meal. They had a big table outside under the grape arbor, and that's where they served at Chrissy's. That's where they served the dinner, or supper rather, whatever you want to call it. And then in the fall, when it was election time, election year, while they had poll raising. I guess it was the Democrat, anyhow, it was a Hebrew poll they raised. And it was a big poll, and they'd work, get that table pull up and have a flag on top. That was and Piercy's would have a dinner.
Now, was the poll raising then at St. Peter's?
Yeah, poll raising was at St. Peter's. And they'd have a nice dinner and a dance in the evening. That was always something to look for. It was only every 4 years. But that, the 4th of July, that was from a little kid on. That was something folks looked forward to, because the whole families went there.
Yeah, but probably was an all-day affair.
Yeah, it was quite an all-day affair. They had a nice dinner, and I was so excited. But you could get things that you didn't always couldn't get any other time. And I would nibble at that, and when it got to the table, I was hungry for me. But the folks enjoyed it. That is something for the whole family to go, and for the folks to go and enjoy eating out, because there was not many eating out places.
No such thing as a restaurant.
You
visit somebody else, and if they cook for you, that was great.
Yeah,
right?
And they had a nice meal always.
Yeah.
So,
you said about buckwheat. Then did you buy the buckwheat, or did you raise the?
No,
we bought it
at the mill. I think is where we got the buckwheat flour.
Yeah.
And then the cornmeal too. I don't remember if Dad got that, but I believe he bought the cornmeal. But the buckwheat we bought at the mill, at Tom's mill. And then that was a treat to have corn cakes or buckwheat cakes or cornbread, or and with the sausage. Oh yeah, that's a must. Do you know if was there anything in political issues that was it, that you remember particularly that was hashed over in election time or anything?
Well, it was. I don't think it was just so. Politics wasn't like it is now, but there was some electioneering, and if one was Republican and one was a Democrat, the neighbors, they used to kill each other back and forth, and but it didn't go in. Well, you didn't have no television or radio or anything that she didn't.
It wasn't over the big area.
No,
just
it wasn't
right
over,
there at home.
Just right at home there.
Now wasn't he a township trustee at one time?
No, he was a county councilman. Then he had to go down to Lawrenceburg a couple of times a year. And when we got the first car we got was just a Ford with open curtains, you know, and Dad, he had to learn to drive. And then Hazel, after she got a little older, why then she learned to drive. But, well, we never went very far that time, just around the church and to the, well, maybe to Lawrenceburg. But no, we never went, and then we didn't go unless it just was something that you had to. And then we, when I was a young girl, we used to, on Ascension Day, then we used to go out to space, and Mrs. Frankie had hats. They had a store out there, and she had hats to sell. And that's about the only place around that I remember where they had, and everybody wore hats then to go to church. You had to have a hat on. So we went out there with a carriage and on Ascension Day, and when we got out there, it started to thunder and lighten and rain, and we got hats, so. But they thought, oh, they'd wait a little bit and maybe until the shower is over. Well, they just kept it up. So we thought, and I said, well, we better start out. So it got dark. And the lightning was terrible. And the horses got blinded from the lightning. And when we turned the corner at Psalms, as you go down the St. Peter's Road, there's a corner there. The horses got way over on the bank. But they were getting upset, though. But ordinarily, horses keep the road pretty nice. They were just trained like that. But it was got over on the road, but it was, they got blinded so bad from the lightning. So we always remembered that Ascension Day when we went out to Mrs. Frankie's to get hats.
Do you remember any of the games or anything that you used to play as a youngster?
Well, when went to school, yes, there was... once in a while, especially in the spring or in the fall when the days were a little longer, not in winter when it was cold, we'd meet at somebody's house, a bunch of the young people, and we'd go outdoors, and it sounds funny now, we played mountain bridge or drop the handkerchief and played games outside, and that was something different to do. Oh, there was Jake Wish and Andy Holzberger and Liddy and Sarah and Ada Brooks. They was, well, we wasn't so little anymore then. I was little, but the rest of them wasn't. And there was quite a few got together and they played games. There was just no place to go. I mean, no automobile and we enjoyed it.
Yeah.
We didn't own a better, we enjoyed it.
And when you went to school, was all the grades in one room?
Blue Creek, I went to Blue Creek School. It was just a one-room schoolhouse at that time, and I went to school with Jake Resch. He went the last year, and I went the first, Andy Holzberger and Ada Brooks and Andy Renier. They all went about the last year when I went the first. And I think it was my second year teacher, third, Alma Huber taught Blue Creek School, and that was her first year of teaching. And then my last year I went to school down there was Alva Huber. Was my teacher.
That's her sister.
Uh-huh. She was, she taught them. And we walked to a party one time out on the other side of Lawrenceville. It was Clara Williams' birthday party, Terry's sister. And we walked out there, and that was my last year of school. She said, you're almost as old as I am. It was her first year of teaching. I think it must have probably been on a Saturday, not on school day, but I think it was on a Friday evening, or probably was on a Saturday. It was just on the other side of Lawrenceville where they lived. So we walked out there to the house party, to the party.
And did the teacher, did she live in the area?
I don't know, Alma lives, I couldn't believe Alma stayed at Aunt Annie's, boarded at Aunt Annie's, but Olga boarded at Uncle Oscar and Aunt Mary's. She boarded there. When she taught you, she stayed, she got to go home, not every week though, but she got to go home once in a while.
You walked to school?
Huh?
You walked
to school? Oh yeah, I walked to school.
And you probably carried the water once you got there,
oh, yeah,
and the wood.
Oh yeah, I had to go up to Rainier's and get the water, there, so we got our water. And only when the weather was real bad, that it was a deep snow, then Dad would hitch the horses up in the, we called the bobsled them days. And he would come down and pick us up. And whenever we heard the sleigh bells jingle, Bobby knew Dad was coming to pick us up. We didn't have to walk home in the snow. Then he'd pick up the rest of them and drop them off as they, wherever they lived, close by there. But that was kind of a treat. The horses would run and kick up the snow, flat their face. But we enjoyed it. That, and Dad did too.
And you didn't have a swimming hole, did you? Or did you go to the creek, the puddle?
Well, I don't know if we did much swimming. The boys did when they got older.
Probably in the creek?
Yeah, down at the, they went down there to the creek at the, it was Oldsburgers Pound. There was one place where it was steeper. And after they grew up, they used to go down there to swim. And Joe Horseman and Ed Hornberger, I don't know if it was single yet, but apparently he was married. That was the swimming place. But there was one place where, they didn't know that at first, where there was a whirlwind, like a whirl of water would whirl around. If you get down in there, you had time getting out. And Ed Hornberger got in there one time, and he was swimming, and all at once he hollered hail, and they didn't know what to, didn't know for sure at first what it was all about. So finally they seen that he needed help. So they took a rail, must have been a rail fence around there somewhere, they got the rail and put it in, and he held on to the rail, they pulled him out. That's how they got him out.
Yeah.
But I don't remember that us girls went swimming any place. It was just not close, but that was a place where we used to go swimming, but the men did, the boys did.
Well, now there were six children
in our family.
Yeah,
yeah.
And you are the second oldest.
Second oldest now living.
Yeah.
Sadie was the oldest, then Herbert, and then it was me, then Homer, and Esther, and then Hazel. Hazel was the youngest in the family. So.
And do you remember, like your grandparents? They live somewhere else.
Yes, Grandpa and Grandma lived down on a place where Uncle Oscar then lived later at that time. And I remember Grandma was, she died there at that place. She was very sick, they didn't expect her to live. And I asked myself to be excused. So when I went out, I heard the church bell ring. And I knew that Grandma passed away. And they went in and I got awful bad, I almost cried. I knew when somebody died, they rang the church bell. And I think they told us the bell as how many years old she was.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. So, but Grandpa died up at Sunman, and the place up there. The Oscar lived on the farm then, and Grandma, Aunt Mag and Grandpa bought a home up there at Sunman. But they used to come down on the farm, they had a horse, they had a barn there, they had a horse, and come down the horse and come on the visit on the farm, spent the day. And then Grandma and Grandpa Berg, my mother's parents, they died quite young. And just a year apart. Grandma died the year that the house was built. And it was in 1905. And Grandpa died the following year. So they died. Grandma was 62 and Grandpa was 60.
Oh, really?
Died. So I can remember what year she died, because she died the year the house was built. We lived up in the other house, and so there somebody came up, but I don't know if it was. Real early in the morning, and he called and he said that the Grandma Berg died, and Mother said, oh, that must be a mistake, because Grandpa wasn't well. He was sickly then already. And but then she died real sudden with a heart attack. She got up and she told Grandpa she's going to get up and sit in the chair. She can't breathe right, can't get her breath right. She got as far as the door from one room to the other, she fell over. And then Grandpa died the year afterwards.
And if you got sick and needed medical attention, the doctor came to you?
Oh yeah, the doctor would come to the house 10 days, yeah.
And the hospitals were out of the question. There wasn't anything
to
the hospital.
Yeah, there was just out of the question, yeah. No, the doctors all come to the house.
Kind of more or less doctored yourself with home remedies?
Yeah, well, mostly, yeah. There was just, I don't remember if any hospital close around, because Batesville wasn't there and Dearborn County wasn't there.
And do you remember,
Cincinnati,
was there any like a flu epidemic or anything like that, or that you remember?
Well, I don't just so much remember flu, but measles and mumps and things, and those kind of diseases, but I don't, there was some flu too. Because when we had the measles, Dad had the flu. That must have just, but way back, I just don't remember. They call it just colds. Throat and colds.
Yeah.
I guess it was probably something like the flu. We all had the measles. And my sister worked at Cincinnati. And she came out for over New Year's, or just over the weekend. And for them days, you come by train, and you never got off as much as you did later on. And so Sadie came home, and she wasn't feeling good. That Aunt Mac had supper ready for her, and she had a duck, and she had a nice dinner. And Dad come up with a horse and a buggy to pick her up. And Sadie wasn't hungry. She just couldn't eat. She just nibbled around a little, and then next day she wasn't feeling good. And the third day she was supposed to go back to Cincinnati. And she started to break out. And Mom said, well, you can't go back like that. She said, and she was running a temperature. She's not able, she said, you're not able to go back. So they called up, and I don't know if they had a phone or if they had to go to Sunman, or did they write? I just don't remember that before. Anyhow, they let Mrs. Merrill know, that's the people she worked for, that she couldn't, she's sick, she couldn't come. And then they got the doctor, and he said, you got them, you're taking the measles. So it wasn't, but they always said it takes so many days if you're in contact with somebody to get the measles. Well, it didn't take us that long. He was just down one after another. And a few days I was down with the measles, and then Homer, and then Esther, and we were the first ones that took it. We was pretty well over before Hazel got it. And she didn't want to stay upstairs in bed. Because she was the only one.
She was the only one up there.
She's the only one up there. And Mom said, well, as long as you've got fever, you have to stay in bed. Well, Sadie and I and Homer, we was the sickest. Sadie had such a cough, she just doubled up in bed. And my nose bled. And Homer had such sore throat, he couldn't hardly swallow. And high fever. We all had high fever. Dad was down with the flu. And Ed Hornberger came over and did the work outside in the barn, fed the animals and that, and they didn't want him to come in the house because he had some little children at home. So Mom did the milking. I don't know how she ever did. We was all sick upstairs. She had the steps to go up and down. I don't wonder how Mother ever did it all.
But now the train came in at Sunman?
Yeah.
Was there stops anywhere in between there? Other
yes.
Like every little burg?
Sunman and Weisberg and Guilford and in this train, we always went back and forth on the train to Detroit. That's the way to get back to Cincinnati.
Now the roads, well, there was no highways. It had to be strictly
mud roads.
Oh, yes. And, well, there was nothing but horse and buggy to go on them, so it didn't matter.
It didn't. And sometimes the roads got almost, there was no fit to get through. I know even when we were married and lived over on the place, on the Musmar place, that road was terrible going past our, going down to what's 46 now. Every once in a while somebody got stuck up at the end of our lane. They couldn't get through the horse and buggy. And they tried it with the automobile, but they were stuck. And it was all mud road.
Do you remember when 46 was built?
Yeah, oh yes.
And now that was that with horses more or less, or was there bigger equipment at that time?
Well, no, I think they had equipment.
They did have.
Yeah, uh-huh. When that was built. I remember when that was built. When we first lived there, the Rennemeyer children, they walked to Lawrenceville to school. But Edward, he had went to Rolfing school. He had to go the other direction. And they said it was just muddy. Sometimes when it got real muddy, it was, it was hard to get for the kids to get through. They had quite, Rennemeyer had quite a little walk from there down to Lawrenceville. And Clarence was so stubby, he was so fat, it was hard for him to get through. So,